Visit Millichap's today.
Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I'm Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person, coming up. The Health Minister confirms in the House of Keys sitting this morning that there will be extra funding for Hospice Isle of Man. As the Chief Minister tells the Keys, they're also on top of the fuel crisis. One MHK is asking for more detail. And all GP services in the island are being asked to follow Jess's rule. We'll be explaining what that involves. That's all coming up in the next half hour. But first of all, the update news headlines with Amy Griffiths. Fastamai.
The Chief Minister insists government is taking fuel price rises affecting Manx residents seriously. This week, motorists have seen diesel increase by more than 50p a litre. Speaking in the House of Keys, Alfred Cannon says government needs to gather data before putting support in place.
We are taking this seriously, but we do need the evidence base and we need to be targeted in our response.
The Health Minister says government remains a committed partner of Hospice Isle of Man and says essential core services provided by the charity are protected. It's after Hospice announced it'd be making redundancies and service changes due to financial difficulties. Claire Christian confirmed her department will offer the charity support, but admits funding increases can be challenging.
What government cannot do is make unsustainable or ad hoc funding increases outside the Tynwald approval financial framework.
A final offer has been issued to bus drivers by the Department of Infrastructure in the ongoing dispute over pay and conditions. Members of Unite the Union have just completed their fifth round of strike action in the past month. Manx Care is asking all GP practices on the island to formally adopt Jess's rule. It's an NHS initiative which urges doctors to think again if they're unable to pin down a diagnosis after seeing a patient three times. Tynwald members will be deciding whether or not Manx National Heritage can sell the old police station in Castletown next month. It's been owned by MNH since 2018, but they have not been able to find a tenant for the site in that time. Turning to international news now, and the UK is sending more troops and military equipment to the Gulf to help nations there defend against Iranian attacks. Air defence systems are being deployed in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain and Kuwait. The Met Police says it questioned the sacked BBC presenter Scott Mills in 2018 over historical allegations of sexual offences against a teenage boy under 16, but dropped the case due to a lack of evidence. The presenter and the corporation haven't commented. And Tiger Woods' arrest report shows he claimed to be looking down at his phone before a high-speed crash in Florida on Friday. The document also claims officers found him with bloodshot eyes and pills in his pocket. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Gurumayu, Amy. So, largely cloudy and dry through this evening and overnight in terms of the weather. Light to moderate west or southwest wind and a minimum temperature of 8 Celsius. Mainly dry and cloudy tomorrow morning. Then a band of rain affecting the island mid-afternoon. Moderate to fresh southwest wind veering northwest when the rain clears. And increasing strong and gusty. Top temperatures 11 Celsius. Thursday, a cold start to the day. But sunny intervals and staying dry for most of the day. Rain will then arrive at night with the strong southerly winds developing, staying unsettled over the Easter weekend.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate or call 674 573. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And we begin with the Health Minister Claire Christian giving an urgent statement in the House of Keys this morning regarding funding for Hospice Isle of Man. Last week, the charity announced it would be making redundancies and service changes due to financial difficulties. She told the House she is unable to say exactly how services will be impacted until a three-week voluntary redundancy process has been completed by Hospice. Ms Christian did confirm her department will offer the charity support, but admits funding increases can be challenging.
The government has ensured continued financial support through multi-year service level agreements, additional financial contributions over 1 million following an independent review, and support for continuity of patient care. What government cannot do is make unsustainable or ad hoc funding increases outside the Timbald approval financial framework. And this is why it's so important that we accelerate the strategic commissioning framework as part of the government's governance review and work to deliver a more progressive third sector funding model. During the next 6 months, while this is in development, the department will ensure that the hospice has access to a wide range of mechanisms that can materially strengthen its financial sustainability, including business improvement and modernisation support through the Department for Enterprise schemes, opportunities for energy efficient improvements, digital transformation and process efficiency support, and workforce and organisational development assistance. Let me reassure honourable members and members of the public that essential core services will be protected. Government remains a committed partner of Hospice Isle of Man. Manx Care and DHSE will only intervene operationally when it is necessary to do so and will respect the process Hospice is working through. Manx Care will continue to actively support Hospice to ensure that any potential changes are introduced safely and with no adverse impacts on patients.
Sticking with the Keys, the Chief Minister insists government is taking fuel price rises affecting Manx residents seriously, but 1MHK says the public needs to know more before April sitting of Timwald. Alfred Cannon told the House this morning that the Treasury Minister will provide a further update at next month's sitting of the Manx Parliament. He confirmed government is following a number of key principles, includes holding weekly meetings, setting up an industry monitoring body and protecting fuel supplies. But Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper, asked for more detail.
I was shocked, to be honest with you. I was expecting a rise. I was expecting the 170s mark, and to see it at 185.9, it was a real big shock for me, to be honest.
Have you ever seen it that high before in your career?
I don't think I have. I mean, we saw it at the 150-odd mark a couple of years ago. It went that high, didn't it? Maybe up to 160, but I don't think we've ever seen it that high.
And I suppose for taxi drivers as well, you're in a stickier situation in that your prices are capped. So there's not really much you can do to try and factor in the more expensive fuel.
I've got to be fair to the RTLC on this one. We had an ADNN come out in December and we were asked what we would like to see in regards to a fare increase, a tariff increase this year. And we gave this to our members. We had a poll and I gave the results to the RTLC. The RTLC then met to discuss this after the war had started and they decided that they would put it back to the trade to see what the trade wanted to do. So the RTLC has been fair to us now. The current poll hasn't finished yet, so I can't divulge what's going on there. But all I will say is the taxi trade is mindful that it's not only us that are being hit by cost, and this is going to have knock-on effects for delivery companies, for food chain. It's, you know, everybody's going to be hit in the pocket with this. And our aim has never been to discourage the general public from using taxis. So we'll wait and see what the outcome is. We did vote for a small tariff increase this year, originally in December, and we'll just wait and see what happens now.
It's no secret that I think since the pandemic, it's been a bit slower for the taxi industry and things have been harder. And how much of an impact could this have on the industry and then particularly here on the Isle of Man as well?
Well, I would say take-ins have probably gone down, certainly on the airport work, because if you look at the airport now, there are less business people travelling. The pandemic affected that. The early morning flights are nowhere near as busy as they used to be. The nightlife on a weekend, on a Saturday, is maybe still there, but people don't have the disposable income to be going out during the week and spending money in the town. And I'm sure it's not only the taxi trade that's been hit. It'll be the pubs and the restaurants, etc. And they're going to be hit even more. This is going to have an adverse effect to all sorts of industries.
My apologies, that was in fact Mike Birchall, the Secretary of the Manx Taxi Federation, talking to Amy Griffiths there about the fuel situation. I can now take us to this morning's sitting of the House of Keys, where Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper asked the Chief Minister Alfred Cannon about more details of their monitoring situation.
What I'm really looking for is something a bit more tangible, I think. The reason that I've asked this question is I tabled it last week, even before the Chief Minister had made his statement about what was going on. I felt necessary to leave it on because it didn't feel like the government had appreciated the urgency of some of the situation here. I very much appreciate the Chief Minister saying we need to take a long-term view and plan for what's going to happen over the winter. but as of right now, oil prices in the UK have effectively doubled for heating home costs, and that's now. We know that deliveries hitting the Isle of Man now are far more expensive than they were last week and the week before. I'm not entirely convinced that vulnerable people can wait until April Tumult to find out what it is that government is proposing to do. Can the Chief Minister provide us with some reassurance that actually something is going to happen to support people who may need support now, as opposed to having to wait until much later in the year before the government gets its act together?
Chief Minister.
So, as I outlined, our response will be precise and targeted. Clearly, you know, there is a section of society, particularly those on home heating oil, who are impacted. I mean, obviously, I accept there are fuel increases at the pumps as well, which are more broadly impacting us. And, of course, there's a knock-on impact probably in terms of food pricing and possibly inflation, and some data on information starts to come through. We are taking this seriously, but we do need the evidence base and we need to be targeted in our response. The Treasury Minister will give an update in April, Tim Ward, and I'm sure he appreciates the difficulty of this situation. And once you start to give support, even targeted support, the pressure obviously grows on the government to give support in other areas. And as he will also know, it's not always that easy to get it defined to the narrowest point.
And we're expecting the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, to be on Manx Radio Breakfast tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, a contractor who supplies services to the farming industry is warning he may have to increase his charges due to the recent increase in the price of fuel. Speaking before the latest shipment arrived in the island, Kenny Cool told Manx Radio's Countryside programme it's an uncertain time at the moment.
I've done all the panic buying. Every drum and barrel and tank is full of fuel on the old price. I've got another order in. I'm assuming that'll be from the new boat just come in. There's a new boat due in now, I think. So that could be quite a big jump. I don't know. But it's putting prices up and stuff. I don't want to rip anybody else off, but I don't want to rip myself off either. So it's just something we're going to have to work out between us, between me and the farmers, and just try to figure it out, really, to see what and how long, how much it goes up and how long for. It went up before a few years ago, but and it came back down again. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's a bit uncertain, really.
Yeah, and that's the trouble with it, isn't it? And when you look back at people just with their maybe diesel cars and things like that, who'll fill it up 60 litres or something like that, and it'll do them a week or 2 weeks or a month if you're living in Douglas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what capacity and what fuel is your machines using in a day, Ken?
It varies on the jobs. Like, I mean, that big class tractor, it holds over 400 litres. Like, you wouldn't barely burn all that in a day. But the frustrating thing is, of all this lot happened in October, I only filled up the tanks twice through the winter when I've been scratching around, trimming hedges and fencing and not even burning much fuel. But now we are going to start to get busy. I'm assuming the sun will come out at some time and we're going to get busy and all these tractors are going to be moving. So there's going to be a lot of fuel burned. And, a few pence a litre is going to make quite a difference to the amount of fills we're going to be using here.
You know, we mentioned the TT. It's a lot of sort of sign where farmers are cutting silage and the contractors are out absolutely flat out day and whatever time of night you can get into. And it's not just one vehicle involved in that.
No. I've got a young fellow is working with me now, so we're mostly out with two tractors, he's good to keep going. So we're full. There's two tractors more or less going full time. Yeah, and sometimes, get extra help in. So it'll be three tractors going, and that'll be quite a big fuel cost to keep an umlaut going.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Manx Care is asking all GP practices in the island to formally adopt Jess's rule. This is the NHS England initiative, which urges doctors to think again if they're unable to pin down a diagnosis after seeing a patient multiple times. Now, Lewis Foster joins me. So, first of all, Lewis, what is this and why is it called Jess's Rule?
Fastamai. So this is named after Jessica Brady, a woman from Stevenage who died from advanced stage 4 cancer in 2020 at the age of 27. She'd contacted her GP on more than 20 occasions, but her symptoms were attributed to long COVID and she was told she was too young for cancer. Like you said, what GPs are asked to do under Jess's Rule is reflect, review and rethink if a patient presents three times with the same or escalating symptoms. So think back on what the patient has said and consider what has changed or been missed. Where underlying uncertainty exists, they're asked to consider seeking a view from a peer or review any red flags that may suggest another diagnosis, regardless of the patient's age or demographic. And then, if appropriate, refer onwards for further tests or for specialist input.
Okay, so this is already in place in the UK, and I'm guessing we're following suit.
Yeah, so NHS England, like you said, adopted this initiative in September last year. A rule came in January saying it should be advertised in every GP surgery across there in England. I understand it's under consideration in Scotland, and there are similar campaigns calling for it in Wales and Northern Ireland now too. We'd heard similar calls on the island, of course. Ramsay MHK Alex Allenton yesterday, for instance, he had a question on this in the House of Keys this morning. This is why we're hearing about it today. He said he wanted to ask after being contacted by a family in Ramsay. They'd lost their son after he went through a similar experience to that of Jessica Brady. It was in response to that question that Health Minister Claire Christian confirmed Manx Care is now asking all GPs to adopt it, to adopt Jess's Rule.
Okay, so what does it actually mean then for patients? You know, let's just say we're going into a GP surgery. What would we be seeing now?
So what Manx Care says is that we'll start seeing information about Jess's Rule displayed in GP practices through posters and leaflets, like that seen in England, as well as in other public locations around the island. It will share information on its social media channels and website, and GP practices are being asked to do the same. It says for Jess's Rule to work as intended, patients should be encouraged to return to their GP or to the health and social care professionals they've already seen if they continue to experience the same symptoms or concerns, particularly if those symptoms persist, worsen, or cannot be explained.
Okay, thank you very much, Lewis Foster.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
And it's all looking good. The Manxman is due into Douglas very, very shortly, all on time. Down the airport, everything is departing on time. And in terms of the arrivals as well, just a slight delay for the Manchester Loganair. It was due in at 5:30. It's now getting in about 10 minutes later.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
A major piece of legislation described by some as long overdue was due for its final reading in the Legislative Council today. The Justice and Home Affairs Reform and Miscellaneous Amendments Bill 2025 aims to modernise and strengthen the island's criminal justice system. It contains a wide range of provisions covering different areas of law and procedure. MLC Kirsty Morfitt, who's steering it through LegCo, says some clauses focus on areas in need of reform.
When enacted, the bill will finally deliver that long-standing aim of 17-year-olds being seen within youth courts, which I arrived on the island 20 years ago and was told that was happening. So for it to happen will be absolutely great.
So what happens at the moment?
All 17-year-olds are seen in adult courts, right, and it's viewed as an adult conviction. So obviously that has far-reaching implications. And whilst the adult courts on the island take into account someone's age, maturity, level of understanding, youth courts are designed specifically for young people. It's designed to have a rehabilitative focus. It's designed to look more holistically at a person and what they may need. And the legislation also enables, if a youth is co-accused with an adult, it enables you to break that so that the youth can continue being dealt with within the youth courts, obviously only when that's appropriate. The bill enhances the sentencing powers for summary courts up to 2 years, which will reduced the lists for general jail delivery, which are the much more serious cases and can getting ready for a trial can take a very long time. So it will hopefully speed up the justice process.
Compared with the UK, I mean, I know in the UK they've got a massive backlog in terms of cases getting heard. How big a problem have we got here?
Obviously, I've worked extensively in the courts, not in the last year, so it's not as big a problem as it is in the UK by any stretch of the imagination, but it is still a problem if you're a person who is charged with an offence and it takes over 12 months to get to trial and then sentence. That's a long time. Whilst we want justice to be fair and dealt with appropriately, there also is a need for it not to sit on the back burner.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Last night, Mark and Lard brought the story of their career together to the Gaiety Theatre. The former Radio 1 presenters regaled the audience with nostalgic tales, plus some songs from their days at the BBC. And it wasn't the first time either of them had been to the Isle of Man.
I've been once before. I did a gig at Peel, in the Arts Centre in Peel. I meant for a walk around the castle, but that's my only time. But Mark Riley, a.k.a. Lard, you came for your holidays as a kid, didn't you, to Douglas?
1973 it was, and there's a blurred photograph of me in my very first David Bowie T-shirt. Very, very proud. And I remember we came for a week and it only rained twice, once for 3 days and once for 4 days. You know, but I do remember the pasties were very nice. We used to have a Cornish pasty, or maybe a Manx pasty, if you like, but every day, and that was a memory.
And it's obviously changed a lot since then.
No. Yes, of course, yeah. I've not changed much, actually, though. Yeah.
We've only walked along the front, which presumably hasn't changed that much. We've been as far as, we're staying over the back of the, what's it called, the Villa Marina, is it? We're staying over the back of there. So we've walked through the gardens, and this afternoon we walked down and had our photographs taken with the Bee Gees and also with Norman Wisdom. So we've done the statue spot, and that's it.
Will you have time tomorrow to have a look at the island?
Well, it's a flying visit, I'll be honest with you. It was a very bumpy flying visit, wasn't it? We got buffeted today. So we fly out tomorrow afternoon. So we'll probably just have a potter locally in the morning. Yeah.
What we'll do in the morning is we'll have a look round for the statues of Mark and Lard. I mean, I'm sure they will be up by then, won't they? Won't they?
So tonight's show, what can the audience expect?
Very poor value for money. They can
expect.
No, I mean, this tour's been going on and off for about 2 years now, and it came about because it was 20 years since the end of Mark and Lard on Radio 1. And people obviously had an affection for that and kept talking about it. But me and Mark hadn't seen each other much. We put a photo of ourselves in a pub. We just put it up online. Got 1.4 million likes. And we thought, there's a lot of people still interested in it. And people have always shouted the catchphrase at us. And so we thought we'd just do a sort of chat show and audience with our friend Phil Williams is interviewing us. And we're playing old clips from the show, Fat Harry White and Lard's classic cuts, all the things that people remember. So it's a kind of genial chat through the archives with some of the actual clips and a couple of really poor songs.
Yeah.
It is a routine then. It's not spontaneity.
What spontaneity? See, that was a...
You're working to a script.
That was a spontaneous reply, you see. Just a bit of irony.
We're working to a running order. We're not reading words. It's not a scripted piece, no. But we do have...
In terms of the format?
Yeah, in terms of the format, we play the same clips in the same order every night about how you get to them and how you're talking between them. And it always changes a bit, and we always make each other laugh, don't we? Something new comes up that's different every time, you know. So, it is the same tawdry rubbish, broad and by and large, isn't it, really? You know.
By and large.
By and large, there you go. Oh, yeah.
So, this is all the best material you're going to get tonight. So you just had the best seat in the house. The rest is going to be crap.
This bit was quite spontaneous, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mark and Lard. Time now, though, to move to the sports desk with the Print Shed. Here is Rob Pritchard. Fast am I?
Fast am I. Starting with football this evening and having secured their league safety last weekend, FC Isle of Man have a quick turnaround as they head on the road tonight in the NWCFL Premier Division. They face a difficult task away at free-scoring Chadderton, which is right in the fight for promotion this season. The Ravens, well, they'll be hoping to avenge their narrow loss to their opponents in the reverse fixture less than 3 weeks ago at the Bowl. However, Rick Holden's side face, as I say, the league's current top scorers who've netted 117 times so far, and also still have a mathematical outside chance of challenging for the league title. Whilst on paper, FC Isle of Man travelled to Manchester as underdogs, they have in fact won on both of their previous visits to their host this evening. Well, tonight's match takes place at the M-Plus Commercial North Stadium, kicking off at 7:45pm. Elsewhere in football, there's action in the Canada Life Men's Premier League on Ireland this evening. St John's United host Union Mills at Mullan na Chloe. That tie gets underway at 7pm. The home side have won four of their last five, whilst Union Mills head into this evening's meeting off of the back of back-to-back victories. In motorsports, Manx motorcycle racer Jamie Williams will make his return to the Isle of Man TT races in 2026. The Ireland-born rider is due to compete in the Supersport and Sport Bike classes for the JLG Racing powered by NCE Racing squad this summer. In the Supersport category, he's due to pilot a next-generation Suzuki GSX-R 750, whilst he'll utilise an Aprilia RS 660 in the Supersport Bike contests. After claiming two wins at the Manx Grand Prix in 2025, this year will mark Williams' first appearance at the TT in 8 years. And finally, and also in motorsport, Ireland competitor Joe Yeardsley has confirmed he won't be taking part in this year's Northwest 200. The rider says this is due to a lack of finances and building two new bikes for the Isle of Man TT, which gets underway at the end of May. Yeardsley made his debut at the Northwest 200 last year, nearly 12 months after making his maiden appearance at the TT in 2024. Also among his achievements to date are winning the Senior Manx Grand Prix in 2023 and finishing second in his class at the Kine Road Race in Mexico in the same year.
Perfect timing as always, Rob. And that wraps up today's programme. My thanks go to newsreader Amy Griffiths. Coming up after this show at 5:30, it's Countryside with Simon Clark. And if you think there's a story that Manx Radio should be covering, then get in touch with update@manxradio.com via email. And this programme, plus many others, are available as podcasts. Just go to www.manxradio.com. That's it from me. Have yourselves a very good evening. Goodbye for now.
Coming up on Manx Radio, we have a special Easter winning weekend. We're giving you the chance to win £250 to spend at Manx Glass and Glazing to put towards whatever you like, from a bespoke front door to made-to-measure mirrors or even a brand new tabletop. Based on the Snugborough Trading Estate, Manx Glass and Glazing are a family-run business celebrating their 40th anniversary this year. To win, listen out right across the long Easter weekend for the Daily Question. And all you need to do is text your answer to 166177. And then make sure you join us next Tuesday afternoon to find out if you're the lucky winner. Make this your Easter winning weekend with Manx Glass and Glazing and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
Separation should not mean losing time with your children. Most children benefit from a strong relationship with both parents. At Man Benham, we specialise in helping you reach sensible contact and residence arrangements, focusing on your child's best interests. We support communication and cooperation.
Whether through negotiation or court application, our aim is to achieve a stable and workable routine. Professional advice is key to securing your family time. For expert advice on child arrangements, contact Man Benham Advocates. Call us now on 639 350.
Pop of the Tops, brought to you by the Print Shed. At five is hospitality, a wide range of aprons, kitchen uniforms and front of house clothing unique to your business. New entry at number four is our eco-sustainable and organic ranges. At number three is workwear. Be safe, be seen and get your brand recognised. Sticking at number two, sportswear, names, numbers, sponsors, logos. We do it all. You pick the colours and we'll do the rest. And at number one is corporate wear, embroidered or printed, professional and stylish. Find us at theprintshedIOM.com, on Facebook or at Bradenbridge Industrial Park.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
Save 17% on the Loganair Tartan Sale with promo code SALE17. Book now at loganair.co.uk. TCs and exclusions apply, subject to availability.
Quayside Tyre and Service Centre, where alongside quality tyres and excellent servicing, you'll find a whole lot more besides. Choose Quayside Tyre and Service Centre for diagnostics, cam belt changes and aircon, along with Hunter wheel alignment and all your mechanical and electrical repairs. With courtesy cars available, excellent friendly service and competitive prices, visit Quayside Tyre and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate and you'll soon be back on the road. Quayside!
Station, Manx Radio. Manx Radio's Countryside is brought to you by NFU Mutual.
Hello and welcome to Countryside here on Manx.